Program is intended for mature audiences.
Good morning, friends of television land.
Attention you out there in radio land.
Good morning. WPIX, August 8th, TGIF day. The time is 3:30 to 7, and this is Channel 7.
Good morning.
This is television station
WORTV, New York.
Good morning, Starshine. Stay tuned now for our
national anthem.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, and I have a tired Negro to my right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night, and for those of you listening to us live here on the interweb, we appreciate it. For those of you listening to podcasts, hello. You are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever. You are listening to
Spankwagon Radio!
All right, everybody. Friday night, Spank Wagon Radio. Find us online, spankwagon.net. I sit on the wrong side of the desk always. All right.
There's a little running gag going.
Apparently, it's more than a gag. It's more of a... Well, I won't go there. All right, folks. I'm your host, Trencher. Up tonight, wait, we got to do something just a little different for sake of sanity for our soon-to-have guest here.
Woohoo!
I'm your host, Mark.
James Zell.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It doesn't sound
doesn't
as good
feel
as
right,
decaf.
Oh, is that where we're going to go by through the interview?
Just to...
Okay.
So, let's... I'm Chris.
Can I choose a different name?
Sure.
Sure.
I'm Bubbles. Scrappy.
Okay. This
different
week...
Okay, by different, she means same.
I'll be my Elias.
We have said your actual name on the radio before.
Elias? That would be Elias.
Alias.
Thank you.
Elias.
Okay.
No,
so
he says tomato, you said cucumber.
Oh, I guess
I say cucumber, she just bends over. So Monday, was it Monday or Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday.
Tuesday,
I get a phone call that just lit me up. I got a call back from
cucumber.
Yeah, cucumber. Oh. From Zane Lamprey's publicist wanting him to be on the show. So
yes!
I've been chasing Zane for a little while now, so it was very exciting to get him on. And she said to me, okay, well, what are your co-host names? And just I was just in a tizzy. I just blurted out, oh, there's Mark and there's James L. And it was just so all the internet pseudonyms
and
went.
Jessica,
yes. Okay. All the internet pseudonyms went right out the window.
Name no person here by that
name. Wow, we still have wrong calls, wrong numbers coming in. Again with this. Anyway, so yes, tonight, live on the show, be Zane Lamprey, the host of what can only be called the cult hit Three Sheets, which is live, well, not live, which is on Mojo HD weekly. He's also the host of Food Network's Have Fork, Will Travel. And according to his IMDb page, a plethora of other questionable projects that I can't wait to ask him the details on.
You know, yeah, especially the one that's going to be the sanity breaker. The one that we think is going to be the sanity breaker. That'll be very interesting to look at. Sorry about that. I don't know what it is, but we've been getting a wrong number on this one line.
We've been getting hammered with it all night. That's what, like the fourth or fifth call on
fourth
that,
call.
I think?
Yeah. Fourth call. I do not understand this. All right, so Spankwagon Radio. Now, we want everybody to join us for this because, you know, this is a big thing. You know, this is one of those really cool interviews, and we want people to join and have fun. So here's how you get to play along. All you have to do is go to spankwagon.net. Once you get to spankwagon.net, you click on the cam and chat. As a matter of fact, let me turn on the cam right now.
Oh, God.
Where everybody looks like freaking Paris Hilton.
Well, hopefully I could get some questions in because when Grant was on the show.
Yeah, Nerd Boy took over. I can't lie.
Yeah, Nerd Boy definitely will take over again. So we got to make sure to beat him in the submission. So we'll get the camera going. Also, with the webcam in the chat, is it initializing? Here we go. We're going back to the Flash chat room just because of sake of ease of use and stuff like that, plus the integration with the chat and the camera. Also, if you want to call in and you have a question when we have Mr. Lamprey on the phone, you can give us a call at 1-866-LV-ROCKS. That's 1-866-587-6257. And, of course, I've been posting this all over different forums, the website and a few other forums that carry our show.
So how many people's in the chat room?
None.
Y'all suck.
We're trying anything to get someone in this chat room, and it just isn't working. I mean, even Murph isn't in there.
I'm sorry. Questions.
Yeah, I know. You're actually looking at porn. That's why her facial expressions keep just exploding.
No, that's just me.
And so do her thighs. Thank you. All right.
What's this show? 7 of 7. What does it say on our sheet?
He's just looking at the broadcast sheet
now. Oh, hello world.
Hello, world. That's what we're doing right now.
Hello, world. I got the shits. That's my problem today.
Did you have Taco Bell for lunch today?
No. Roberto's?
No. You know?
So Scrap and I had lunch today, and a massive 45-minute debate ensued as to where we were going. And she said, let's go to Taco Bell. I said, no.
I told him I would treat if you ordered off the 99-cent menu.
I said, no.
Dude, you know what? That's youth right there, though. Ordering shit at Taco Bell. There's way better Mexican, and you still want to go to Taco Bell.
Yeah, but the burritos at other way better Mexican are like $5.
Nope.
The burritos at Taco Bell are like $1.
They're $1 for a reason.
Yeah.
They got me food poisoning twice.
Wait. So you got food poisoning once. You're like, damn, those burritos suck, but I want it again.
That's some good shit. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, it's the grease. I mean, you suck down the grease. The grease is good shit, but I've had Taco Bell 2 years after the last time.
Why would you eat? Why would you eat crap when you have your wife, who's an amazing cook at home?
It's called lunch. I'm bringing her to work with me and shit. You know?
Well, wait. Why don't you just like brown bag it
every day? I mean, you can brown bag it. I brown bag it now, but not every day. Every day is impossible. People, you know, you get busy at night. You don't got time to fix your shit all night. If I'm home, I mean, before. Is that hanging out with this?
Do
fucking...
I swing at that softball or
you know,
do I just let
there,
the pitch go?
It's low hanging fruit. Go for it.
So, speaking of brown bagging, how is your wife's mouth? I'm just
wondering. Wouldn't it be her chin?
That's pretty nice.
Oh, who doesn't enjoy a good tea bagging now and then?
Speaking of bag lunches, man, white people don't know how to fucking buy food, man. God.
What do you mean?
I mean, on the bus, they had like stale ass pretzels, right? Popcorn that you would get at the student store back in high school.
Student store.
And I think some bologna sandwiches. I don't know what the sandwich was, but I mean, they have Doritos or did
my
the Doritos.
My bologna. How's
yeah.
the first
but
name?
It was on the bus because that was part of the Cindy's birthday party.
Well, yeah, you guys were hosting the party bus last Saturday.
The party bus. Yeah. That was
interesting.
That was epic.
Did you guys get laid?
No comment.
No comment.
They plead the fifth.
Do you blame them?
Basically, what wound up happening is, yes, we got on the bus, and what they didn't realize with James L. and I is that when you turn us on, there is no off switch.
They got laid.
No, it went from
look
being
on James L.'s face right now, like
it went from being a celebration to just a mobile roast.
Nice.
We just
belly dance.
I did not belly dance personally.
He did belly dance,
but James L. That man over there, he hung the whole time.
Yes,
about 80% of the class bailed out, but no, he hung. He did the whole freaking thing, and I gotta say, the only reason I even stood there because that chick was.
Yeah,
that girl was hot.
I was staring at her ass the whole 45 fucking minutes.
Holy shit.
I don't care how sweaty a nigga got. I could leave the ass. But no, actually the first 30 minutes of it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, joking around, fucking around, whatever. The last 10, 15 minutes, I was really getting into it. I was like, hey, did they stop that? I was like, bitch, turn the music back on. What you doing?
Like, you look good doing it, dude. Most of the time I'm standing in the back going.
I know. I saw you in the mirror. I saw your reflection. You wasn't doing shit looking like
I was
a,
like,
wait, like, were you making... It was supposed to be a hula session.
And no, belly dancing.
So you were turning belly dancing into the robot?
Yes. A lot of people were.
That's just my normal movement style.
Yeah. That's how he freaks.
Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did some.
Details are shaky. Yeah, that was.
She did some back maneuver going back, and I tried following that, and. Yeah.
I remember when she did that. I damn near nut my pants.
her ass was spectacular. I mean, it was
whoever is hitting that.
I was gonna sing the Star Spangled Banner to that shit. Boy. I was like, duh. Yes.
God, it was, that's too much.
It was great. We had a great time though.
But yeah. So pretty much we had the PA. Is it the PA system?
We had a tour bus.
Yeah.
So okay. We had the PA system on a tour bus.
Okay. And let me tell you about this bus driver. He was crazy.
Oh shit.
Mark
the bus driver.
That's his
okay.
Name.
So we're in a, what was it? What do you say? About 120-foot bus.
120-foot bus.
We're in a 120-foot bus rolling down the strip. Right. We would get to
120. That's bigger than a semi. Oh, well. A semi is 53 feet.
Okay, maybe it was about 60 feet. Then. I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever. So, but when we would get to a red light,
120-foot bus,
he would stop eventually.
Yeah,
he would stop at the point where we could see exactly what was going on the dashboard.
You could see them dialing the fucking numbers in their phones.
Holy yeah.
And
shit!
He wasn't just doing this to old hoopties. No, he was pulling up on Mercedes and Beamers, dude. It was fucking scary. At one point, we pulled up on this the big median where the Vegas sign sits, and the people were pulling off to the side of it, and he's like, all right, fuck that. Goes around the limo, the Hummer limo, and then boom, he's up on top of this thing and parks it up there. And then all the other Hummer limos just showed up out of nowhere and started doing the same thing. But then when we were leaving, we've got a Hummer limo in front of us that's trying to make the U-turn to go back the other way. He says, fuck this, and cuts in front of that guy.
He was crazy.
In a bus of shit.
Now who was blocking us?
That's awesome.
When we got up on the hill, who cut us in line to go to the Vegas side? Remember a bunch of strippers.
Well, I don't think they were strippers. They were just a bunch of blonde chicks at a bachelorette party.
What did I scream out?
Steal their purse! Steal their purse!
I said, I want a white woman! I want a white. And then everybody started screaming out, I want a white woman! They were just like trying to smile in the picture.
Dude, it was
about laughing.
Oh yeah, it was great. It, like 53 people show up and try to just push you away from the sign so you can take your photo. The best thing to do is just get out of their way. This is a real mob mentality.
Yep. Oh, really?
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I got to say, though, to me, the biggest compliment of the night, we had people just dying all night. People kept walking up, wanting to hire us for other parties, wanting to talk to us.
Nice.
Biggest compliment of the night, though, is there are two comedians on the bus with us. Ludovica, who's I hear on XM all the time, and Lonesome Dave, two professional comedians, were just fucking rolling.
They could not stop laughing.
They were dying. Crazy. And Ludo, as we were trying to leave, I got to hang out with you guys. You guys are awesome. Stay in touch. So we had a good time with that.
That's
they
awesome.
They made friends.
They did.
Well,
they
I made a
networking
and
content.
They took the bus driver home at night.
No, I made a couple of enemies that night too.
Yes,
though.
Yes, you did.
Big titty bitches did not like me.
No, they didn't. What do you think? You think we are all poor because we Mexican? You think we're on food stamps? I was about to say yes. Bitch,
see, okay,
you
as
are.
I'm as I'm pulling away, the hot Latina blonde girl who's in this red bustier who would put our dear Scrappy to shame. And these were nice.
Were they fake?
No, they were just huge. And as we're pulling away.
I don't know.
Do you think maybe they might have been?
No, I mean put her to shame.
Oh, put her to shame?
No.
I look over and James L is talking to her and I'm like, hey,
I knew
sweetie.
I always loved James L better.
I said, sweetie, what's your credit score? Is it below a 650? Because if it is, he's not going to care. not getting
oh,
the
she
joke.
Was hot. She got hot. She was like, this motherfucker, he thinks he's da 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 da. He thinks all Mexican girls are on food stamps and poor and broken.
It's like, no, that's not the joke. The joke is marry a black man who ruined your credit. That's the joke.
She didn't get it. All she heard.
Well, obviously, she obviously doesn't know what the hell's going on, so therefore, stereotype proven.
You know, it was. It was a fun night. We had a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Except for in the Stratosphere.
I know that fucking long-ass line.
The line, we stood in line for 45 minutes to go up the Stratosphere.
Hell no.
Everybody's buzz wore off. Yeah. But then going up the elevator, I popped my eardrum going up the elevator, and I, boom, almost fell over in the elevator. Had to stop when we get up to the top, had to sit down, and then the whole, like, every 5 seconds out of my mouth was, holy shit, this hurts so bad. I got dizzy all the time. Going back down, it happened again. I did fall over that time. I wound up crashing into a girl behind me and then into the wall. Stood around for a couple minutes, and finally the air bubble passed, and it was good. But, yeah, I was fucked up there for a good half hour.
So you're saying that the most fucked up you got was because you went up vertically in an elevator.
Well, I couldn't get drunk. You know, James L. and I both, we were...
Well, you were performing. Yeah, you were working. Uh-huh. So
well, I mean, we did have a couple beers, but...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, we had to stay on top of things. And if we would have gotten fucked up, it just would have gone downhill. Yeah. But it was... It was a fun night. It was definitely a good event. Hopefully some people call in. I don't know if any of them will.
All I could
but
do is the evil laugh of that night.
We had a lot of fun, though. Definitely
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of fun.
That's very awesome. So, all right, Spank Wagon Radio. You can find us online, spankwagon.net. And I need to remind everybody listening live to head over to spankwagon.net and go into the chat room. Not the normal chat room. We're going back to the consolidated chat room for a while, seeing if we could pick up chat numbers because we haven't... Jesus. Your turn.
I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Just put it the asshole. It'll work.
We want to try to pick up chat numbers, so we invite everybody to check out the consolidated chat. Go to spankwagon.net, click on the cam chat link, and you can see everything all together now. All right. So, hey, I think we got a phone call. Let's try this one. Hopefully this isn't another prank call. Spankwagon Radio.
Hi, it's Zane calling in.
Mr. Ooh. Zane Lamprey, good evening, sir.
Biggage.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty special night around the studio, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We got Zane banners all around the studio, and Chris is wearing an I Love Zane t-shirt right now. And
oh, he got it. Awesome.
He's got the panties, too.
The matching I Love Zane underwear, is that what you just said?
No, yeah. It says Zane's butt.
Oh. Yeah, thank you.
On the back.
Ladies
well,
and gentlemen.
You know, if they're the same ones I have, they're chaps, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we ordered out of the same catalog.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zane Lamprey here on the line with us. Zane, of course, is the host of the cult hit phenomenon show, Three Sheets. Also Three Sheets.
No, that's after you watch
that. No, that's what he sounds like.
That's, yeah. That's,
you guys are drunk already. You didn't even wait for me.
And, of course, Half Work Will Travel. And you've got some other projects on your IMDb page we want to ask you about later on.
Oh, no. Come on. Let me outlive some of that crap.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No.
Because some of it's as recent as last year.
Dad's weird friend, but we'll get that later.
Let me just say something real quick, Zane. Just so you know, you are on the internet, so anything goes. You don't even have to watch your language.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let's see if I can pull. I'll do it at the appropriate time when I get mad at you guys.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, sweet.
So in about 2 minutes.
Now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, stop it.
So, Zane, I mean, we're all huge fans of the show. Mark and I have sat there probably through every episode at least 4 times.
At least.
Just want to ask you, I mean, the show's huge. It's getting bigger all the time. Right now, when I was talking to your publicist this week, she said you're just getting back in the country. Where have you been?
I was just in Russia, in Moscow. I was in Copenhagen, and I was in Scotland. And that wrapped up our shooting for season 3, which comes out April 10th.
How's the bread in Russia?
The bread?
I thought that was the only thing you had to eat in Russia.
Wait, is that like some Cold War joke?
Yeah, it's about as old as the Cold War, too. Yeah. The show, I mean, we love the show. Going with that, though, I mean... You're the host of this show. What has gone out on the air that you really wish wouldn't have?
Oh, I don't. You know what? I don't care. I got to live by the rule that I can't care, because if I start caring, then I'll start caring. Is that right? Does that make sense? You know, I'm a goofball, you know, and if I start worrying about what goes out there, then I'll stop being a goofball. And quite frankly, I think that's sort of the charm of the show is I'm just myself, you know? And I'll have an excuse for anything that shows up later down the road and just say, hey, this part of Three Sheets.
That
was in the show.
Yeah, that was part of the show. What are you talking about? I don't know. Yeah. Then, you know, you're talking about coming back from filming season 3. What countries do you really want to kind of go back to and re-explore? And what countries do you just say, okay, fuck that, never again?
Wow, you know, every... you know, it's funny because the only seasons that are out right now are season 1 and 2, and I stopped filming those over a year ago, and so I've been out shooting, and there's like 14 more new episodes coming out, and you know, each place is so different. Everything has something new to offer. So,
like duck eggs.
I mean, I'm not sure. We went to Vietnam. I'm not sure. I'm in a rush to go back to Nam, dude.
Nobody is.
Charlie, don't surf.
We left some of our crew behind. But, you know,
hopefully, it wasn't Pleopas again.
McCain's gonna go back and pick him up.
Well, you left Pleopas back there. You left Pleopas back in Nam.
No. Pleopas always makes it out. He stinks. At this point, it is the same Pleopas as I started with in Ireland, which was the first episode, and now he's a stinky, stuffed monkey with matted hair, and he's starting to look a lot like me. There you go.
Hey,
I mean, just to answer your question, I want to go back to every place. We don't necessarily have enough time when we go there. We sort of are in and out in about 3 to 4 days, but I really like Hong Kong. And I really liked the cognac, the South of France. Oh, that was amazing.
That's awesome.
Did I just say, ugh?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God. It was so amazing. I tell you. I go back to any day.
Holy cow.
Hey, Zane, how did you get the scope of the show? I mean, where was it derived from? I mean, were you like, was it you and a couple other people got together and talked about it, or just had
funny.
A whim?
It's a funny story, and I'm not sure if it's just funny to me, but I went to audition for a Food Network show. It was called You Should Open a Restaurant. They were looking for a host. Well, when I got there, it was basically you were such a good cook that they turn your house into a restaurant. And the host they were looking for wasn't a host of the show. It was like a host that would seat people. And so I'm like, oh, this is the wrong thing. So, you know, I joked around with the producers, and I left. And then one of them walked me out and said, hey, we had this show called Three Sheets. Would you be interested in doing it? So probably 2 months later, I was up in Seattle where they're based out of. I went to a Polish social club where, like, all the Polish families belong, and I got hammered.
Did you think it was going to be successful starting off?
Yeah, you know what? I gotta tell you, I'm funnier when I'm drinking, and I'm sober. For all your listeners, I'm sober. So sober now.
And speaking of that, with all the drinking you do. What's the time frame you're giving your liver before it has to be replaced there?
I know. That's a legitimate question. But I started to think about some of my friends who go out. I live in L.A. Some of my friends go out every weekend and get wasted. And I don't drink when I'm home. I can't do that to myself. So maybe I'll have a beer once, you know, every now and then, but I don't really. And when I'm on the road, I sort of have one day where I tie one on. So I actually do try to watch it a little bit. I'm not very good, so I drink a lot.
Now, Zane, does that mean those of us that shell out the cash to go on Zane Crawl that you're going to be sober the entire time, or
nice.
Are you going to be getting drunk with us?
No, that's work, man. I only drink when I'm working. Zane Crawl is work, and I will be drinking on Zane Crawl.
Give us a little bit of tell us a little bit of what ZaneCrawl.com is all about.
That's my little baby. It's an international pub crawl through Los Angeles and then New York. There are two events, and they're sort of a 3-day event where we're taking care of everything is included, from the food, the booze, gift bags, the hotel room, everything. So when people come, it's all taken care of. I'm just trying to give people sort of an immersive experience like the one I have. You know, if I'm in Ireland in a pub, once I'm in that pub, I could really be anywhere in the world. If it looks and feels a certain way, it really could be anywhere because, you know, most pubs and most bars don't really have windows. So L.A. and New York both have so many international bars and restaurants that you really can get that sort of feeling. So we're taking this bus around, bouncing from bar to bar. We're sponsored by Patron, Tequila, Draft Magazine. I don't know if you guys saw the Kentucky episode, but Rip Van Winkle, the Bourbon, World Poker Tour, Vive Liqueur, so many sponsors, and it's just going to be an awesome weekend. The one in L.A. is March 14th through 16th, The one in New York is April 25th to 27th.
And Zane, if someone were to want to get more information, where exactly would they go for that?
Why, they'd go to ZaneCrawl.com. Thank you.
The master of the shameless plug.
Sorry. I couldn't help it.
So you mentioned Kentucky. I got to ask, was it yours or Steve's idea to decide to get naked?
Well, you know, the producers. It really is. So for, I guess for anyone listening who Ken is a friend of mine who in college didn't know when to stop. He was the guy that always the next morning was apologizing. He wasn't violent or anything like that, but he just got drunk and did stupid things. He thought things were good ideas when he was drunk, and one of them was he'd go streaking. He'd, you know, drunk dial like crazy. So I made up these shirts when he showed up in Kentucky. I was wearing one, the definition of being Steve McKenna, which is you know, is a term used throughout the whole show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it was on there, and basically, if you saw, I did a taste test with him with different bourbons.
Mm-hmm. Where he identified
and whiskey that pick him out,
and he identified him 100%.
He did. He was very good. I don't know if some of it was luck, but he committed to it. And he was actually right, and that was needed to sort of get him over the edge and have him become Steve McKenna. And at that point, he thought that streaking would be a cool idea. You know what? You know what? I agreed with him, and now I still agree. Although it was cold out, for anyone who sees the raw footage, it was cold. You have to allow for shrinkage.
I think we'll be safe to say we'll be very happy with what Mojo puts on the air. Thank you.
Now, Zane, you've got a lot of other projects, but you've had some in the past, and
I gotta go to this.
Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. On IMDb, do you actually choose your picture, or do they just find something to put on there? Because you look at, you know, you got your little. Have you seen your picture?
You know what?
You got like a smooth sweater and shit, like a turtleneck and
You tell me you see that. Tell me you don't think sex.
It is a sexy picture.
That's a man who's having sex. That's all I can tell you. Look at that.
I like it. I think it's cute.
The ring,
and
I think, makes it.
I'm probably not wearing pants on that shirt.
It makes you look mysterious.
I know. Now, do you actually choose it, or does the site choose
it? Yeah, you know what? I think I chose that one, and I looked at it the other day and said, pretty much everything you're saying.
I look at that and I see, hello, ladies. That's
hey, I'm not wearing any pants.
Now, Zane, looking back at your credits, the stuff that you've been in is interesting, but if you go a little further down the page.
Oh, boy.
How
you
much?
You go back a year.
Well, just. Okay, you want to go back a year. Okay. How did they convince you to host the, what is that, 100 things you always wanted to know about Shrek but were afraid to ask, so we're going to tell you anyway, movie special?
Yeah, they paid me. That's how they convinced me.
I was going to say.
A lot of things done in Hollywood.
Just okay.
Money. How much? Yeah. All right. I'll do it.
So then, I guess the follow-up to that is, how much therapy did you require after editing the entire Jessica Simpson reality tour?
Oh, that's funny. That was awesome. That was my former life. I was actually, I did a lot of things while I was getting my hosting career going, and one of them was editing. And you know what? I to be brutally honest, I edited so much of that, but that was when her career was just in the beginning, and I did the concert up at the Universal Amphitheater here in L.A., And I had to spend a lot, hours and hours, probably a week editing that thing, and I did not get sick of looking at her. Sorry.
Well,
and you know what? I didn't really know who she was before. It was that long ago, and I was pretty impressed. Is that bad?
Kind of, sort of, maybe.
It wasn't Britney or anything.
I would have gone with, I had AC/DC on my iPod and my pants off the entire time. That would have been redeeming.
I know. There's no room for honesty on radio, is there, Zane? Next time I answer that appropriately. It was hell. That's when I started drinking, okay? Jeez.
All right. Girls Gone Wild, Spring Break, Anything Goes.
Go.
Now, let me ask you a question. There's Joe Francis, there's you, and there's Samantha West's public breast flasher with reddish brown hair. Do you actually remember her?
You know what? All I did was the infomercial for that.
Oh, that's all I did.
It's all I did for those things. That's why. I mean, the credit's a little inaccurate because I wasn't in the video, but yeah, I was on the infomercial. You'd turn on the TV at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was there, sort of
So you was never on a set when they actually filmed or any of the locations?
No. I did travel around a bit with Joe, but I was never on the set of any of that stuff.
That's a ripoff, dude.
Now let's bring it back to current day here. Have Fork Will Travel for Food Network.
Yeah.
Give us a little rundown of, you know, what that show is. And
it's, you know, I'll answer by saying this. Mojo, the one of the reasons that Three Sheets is so successful on is because Mojo is such a new network, and they really let us just do whatever we want. You know what the whole point of the show in Barcelona was? Like, a lot of places, you're drinking this, you're drinking that. In Barcelona, the premise of the show is that I grew a mustache. and so food is sort of a watered-down version of Three Sheets. It has to do with food. It's not drinking. I'm not being crazy. It's a nice travel show. It really is a good show, but it's not the craziness that people who watch Three Sheets would have expected, but it's a good show. Give Rachel Ray a run for her money.
All right, cool. All right. Hey.
Her and her giant head.
I actually, usually with Rachel Ray, I have my iPod on with AC/DC, my pants
okay.
off.
Okay.
I did when I made that comment. Okay.
All right. So going then back to the... Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to say. I was just totally blanked. Murph, take...
Outstanding.
Wow.
So, Zane, what's more fun then? Filming, you know, getting drunk on Three Sheets, eating food, or Motormouth humiliating people in their car? What's going to be more fun for you?
Oh, that was a quick run. I'm Motormouth. F-Work's nice, but for some reason I end up working more when I'm on the road. Three Sheets is fun. You know Jim the Cop?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine that wanted to come along to Puerto Rico, so he was sitting there at the bar when we were filming, and I went up and did that.
That's so cool.
You know, that's just part of what Three Sheets is. It really is like, you know, you're supposed to want to be there. You're supposed to want to go to the places that we go to.
Right.
And I think we accomplished that. You know, one fun story is that we went to Belgium as, I think, our third show. It was like almost 2 years ago. And I went back there. That was for Three Sheets. I went back there this summer when I was shooting the show there, and I walked in there, and the guy recognized me, and he's like, "Well, you know, we get 2 to 3 groups of people every day. They're fans of Three Sheets that come and look for this bar. And this is the bar with Bart. The bartender is called Mort de Beat in Brussels." And as he was telling me that, I'm just like, "Wow, I can't believe people actually come." There's a table of people sitting there that were like, "Zane, what are you doing here?" I said, "I'm always here. I'm always everywhere that I am in the show. That's how I work it."
Doppelganger.
Zane, you'd be surprised how quickly this has grown. I mean, I'll be sitting in a bar somewhere and I hear someone burp, and next thing you know, thumb goes to the forehead.
Nice.
I mean, it's everywhere, and it's, you know, I guess part of the beauty of that is Mojo really has given you free reign to do what you want. I mean, even down to the walking across the desert promo you did with everybody else. Just seeing you walking out there with in the tux with the tie open and the cufflinks.
Six.
It's just cool.
That was sexy, man. You can say it.
You were
the picture proves
it all.
Oh, God,
here comes the man, love.
get the picture back out. Hold on, I need some Vaseline.
Oh. All right, all right.
We'll wait.
With him, you may have to. Anyhow, so back kind of bringing some of the food, the duck eggs and some of the food you eat before you go out drinking.
Oh, my God,
What revenge do you get on your producers for saying, "Try this"?
Oh, he makes them drink the Viper liquor on air. Oh.
Here's the deal. They can surprise me with anything that they want, because sometimes they tell me what's coming on. Sometimes they surprise me. If you surprise me, I might call you out. And so they'll do it. It was the only thing that I didn't eat in the entire shooting was the thing that you referred to. It's called balut. It was in the Philippines, and it's a fertilized duck egg. And a duck egg takes about 27 days to fully hatch. But they take one after 15 days, and they hard boil it, and then they open it up and they eat it. And there's the embryo, and it's veiny, and they love them. People walking around snacking on them, and I couldn't do it.
No,
oh my God, no way.
It had a beak. It had a beak.
Oh,
so you eat the beak too, or is like you like peel off
in your mouth like popcorn or something?
Oh.
It's like an M&M, crunchy and chewy.
What's the nastiest thing you've ever had to eat?
That next thing I actually
you,
did eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. It was in Portugal, and I went there, and we were shooting. In the middle of shooting, someone asked me my last name, which is Lamprey, And they said, hey, you know, that's an eel. And I said, yeah, I know. And they said, but we actually eat them here. And so one of the big things in Portugal were these sort of...
So they sold you on your name, huh?
They
sold you on your name?
Because and then they made me eat it. So, but the thing is, it's about the size of a baseball bat, this eel. And they have these sort of societies where we have, like, Rotary Club and Elks Lodge. They have these sort of gastronomic societies where they sit around and eat. And so they take this live lamprey, and they pick it out of a tank, and then they slice it open, and they cook it in its own blood. And that's the only time I've ever thrown up on this show. It was late. It was after shooting. It was like 3 in the morning. I woke up, and it was just the blood in my stomach, and it was horrible. So that was it. That
foul.
And then, of course, all of your credit cards were demagnetized.
No, it's not electric.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Thanks,
if
Mark.
It was, that'd be awesome.
Wow, that way all to right. bring it to a crashing halt there, Mark.
Did I disagree? Yeah, and then, weird enough, the lamprey stole my credit card.
Exactly.
So I was saying, you know what, now that I've eaten lamprey, now my wife and I have something in common. Yeah, okay, work for it.
So, I mean, now you have a job now. You have a son, correct?
I do.
You do. How does this now impact you doing the show? I mean, does mom stay home with the kid, or
you know, my wife has been along. She was there in Venice, Belize, Rio, France. She's been to a lot of the places, and it slowed down when she was pregnant, and then we had our kid. He's coming up on 5 months now, so they're gonna start coming with me again. It was okay when I had to leave for a little bit. My wife came with me, but I'm not gonna be the father that goes away, and I come back one day, and my son's like, hey, Dad, can I borrow your razor?
Oh, like my father.
Thing, you know? Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Now, that's another way to bring it to a crashing home.
Way to go.
He's like,
way to go,
I'm sorry.
Way to go.
We get a little dysfunctional around here sometimes. Sorry, Zane.
A little?
Okay. Yeah, I fit in pretty well.
Now, I want to bring it back to the Zane crawl here, because I'm really interested to go. I just, unfortunately, I don't think I'll be able to pay for it because my wife's pregnant with our third child now. But, I mean, what do you think of the big glaring difference is going to be between New York and L.A., other than, of course, the geographical part of it?
I think just the traveling part. We got a big, like, 50, 60-person bus that we'll be moving around L.A. and New York in. But once you get into these places, I think it's going to be the same thing. You know, we're going to go to, like, for example, here in L.A., we're going to go to Koreatown. I got a great place down there that just, it's like a tent in a parking lot, which is exactly like they are in Seoul.
Nice.
We're going to go to a little Tokyo, we'll go to an Irish pub. And it's a similar thing when we go to New York. Some of the places are from the pub crawl. Most of the places are not, because we'll be rolling with a lot of people. So,
okay.
Hey, I have a question about one of your shows.
Yes.
Tequila Mexico.
Okay.
Now, is tequila outside? I'm trying to remember. Is it outside Guadalajara? Yeah, it's a couple hours away.
Are you going to
need
all technical on me right now?
It sounds like he's going to.
Yeah, no, because my wife is from Guadalajara. That's why.
Okay.
No,
okay.
But
Jalisco, I believe.
Jalisco. Yeah, I didn't get to go out there, but I heard that they actually have the, I forgot what it's called, that they make the tequila out of. And
you
actually
got the blue agave. Yeah.
Yeah, and how is it there? Because I didn't get to go the last time I was there. Last
year.
Well,
Guadalajara is nice. It's
beautiful.
I've been there. Yeah. Part that's not so great, but the old town is really nice. And if you go, you pretty much want to make a beeline for old town and then stay there. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
But the tequila region is probably about a 30, no, probably closer to about 45-minute drive from there. And it's similar to Champagne, where you have to make it in Champagne to call it Champagne. You have to make it in the tequila region to call it tequila.
Huh.
So because of that, almost all the land that's in that region is growing these blue agave. So it's pretty remote.
Interesting.
It's not like a big town or anything like that.
Right. So it's a farming community. Farmer. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. So with all of the extra, people, the Jim the Cop, and oh God, the beer hunter. Ugh.
Nice. Logan Perkins, everybody.
Yeah. Wow. Which one of the, we're going to link Steve out of this because Steve kind of is an automatic win. Which one of you know, the guests, if you will, that you have come
well,
on.
Well, okay, this will disappoint you in a little bit, but you'll appreciate it later. It was in Chile, and the guy's name was, I forget it, his real name is Christian, but he asked if I would call him Maverick. So I called him Maverick, he called me Goose. And man, the episode is crazy. He takes the cake. He was the shit, man. He was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. But everywhere, but like, you know, when you see like the scene from Champagne with me drinking with that stuffy guy, you know, that scene got cut down to about 6 minutes. Well, I was sitting with that guy for about 3 hours. And so we really got along and really had some great conversations. And I think that's maybe, unfortunately, it's part of what you miss, you know, when you have to take 3 or 4 days and edit it down to about a half an hour.
Right.
So,
Any extended DVDs or anything?
Everyone's been pushing them for that on season 2, which I believe is coming out right around the same time as season 2 of DVD will be released right around the same time I think that season 3 is coming on the air. And I've been pushing them. I said, just let me do a commentary or something.
Right.
Pay me for it. But let me do it.
You know, and that sort of thing, it'd kind of be funny to have you and Steve together doing the commentary because there's so much stuff
Steve,
he's not there for.
What does Steve know? Steve will be drunk and farting the whole time.
See, but that could be funny. Just hearing him throw up on the floor while you're doing the commentary.
You just like, you have mine and then you have Steve's. And Steve is going to be like Beavis and Butthead. He's going to be like, oh, hey, that's pretty funny. Look at that. That's cool.
You know, just do it as a third audio track or fourth audio track, the special Steve edition.
Yeah.
That's all you hear is fart noises and burps and shit. That's all you get.
That's all it's going to be.
Oh,
and then he'll be drunk by the end and he'll end up calling his ex-wife or something.
Wow, Steve and I have a lot in common. Well, Zane, we want to thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Again, ZaneCrawl.com. Go there. Register.
Thank you. Go there. Join me. It's a nice chunk of change. It's like $1,600 for L.A. and about $1,800 for New York. But it includes everything, and it really is an amazing weekend. It's going to be incredible.
It sounds like it's going to be a good time. I
absolutely
hope I can scrape it together. I would like to go. We'll see if we
all
can.
All together.
And again, Mojo, 3 sheets. You can catch it there. Mojo HD, where you can also MojoHD.com, where you can buy all the gear.
I think if you go to MojoHD.com, I think you can watch for free the 1 hour New Year's Eve special we shot, the New York pub crawl in New York.
That one, that episode had me dying too.
Although until the King of Miami showed up, that guy just drives me nuts.
You know, it's funny. Obviously he's a lot different in person. He's a cool guy. But I'm with you.
Holy cow! All right,
he's cool. He's cool. I thought he was pretty funny. But
okay, well, again, guys, Zane Lamprey, Zane, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hey Zane, I'm gonna buy your picture as a poster for my wall.
Oh Jesus!
I'm buying the Steve McKenna shirt tonight. I can't lie. I'm going home and order it tonight.
And one thing we say is, if you're ever out here in Las Vegas,
please come
on
out.
Who doesn't want to come to Vegas?
I am gonna be in Vegas, by the way.
When?
I'll call you guys after. I'll call you guys after I hang up.
Okay. Awesome.
We're shooting a Vegas show there.
Oh.
But I'll let you know when I'll be there.
That'll be outstanding. All right, guys. All right. So again, Zane Lamprey. Check out ZaneCrawl.com. Don't forget to watch 3 Sheets. Trench, take us out to break, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Zane, thank you again.
Rock and roll.
All righty. Bye.
I didn't say fuck.
Oh.
There we go. I'm done.
Thank you. All right. Let's take it out with some music.
The doctor says I'm living on precious borrowed time, with all the time I'm giving to liquor, beer, and wine. The x-rays of my liver look like molded old Swiss cheese. My heart pumps blood and alcohol through heart of I let my health go since you quit being mine, but there was nothing to replace you except liquor, beer, and wine. Liquor, beer, and wine is a
same sign I see. Every single morning I get up, it's a buzzing down at me. I look up to the heavens for a ray of hope to shine, and there it is in neon liquor.
If I have another erection, I'm going to name it Zane.
Hey.
I'm like, what?
What would you say when you saw that?
That's IT department.
Now, Scrappy, what did you call it when she saw it on my phone? She was going through my phone.
It was the it dipped.
There's a thing. Oh, you heard about that?
She said, no.
She said it dipped. Who's it depth? Is
it depth?
He says, is that why your brother's
it depth? I thought it was a rapper or something.
Wow.
I was like, because I was looking through his phone and looking at all the guys in there, and I was like, who's this? Who's this? Is he married? Is he single? Is he hot? I was like, who's it depth?
That was the first IT thing she department. Asked me when I told her Zane was coming. I was like, oh, is he single? I'm like, no, he's married. He has a kid.
And he's not coming into the studio.
No, yeah. We'll get him on the phone. But guys, again,
wow!
Huge thank you to Zane coming on the show.
Yeah, Zane Lamprey, host of Three Sheets, Have Fork Will Travel, numerous other shows, and editing of. apparently, it didn't affect his sanity, so that means he was fucked to begin with.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny guy. Again, guys, check the show out. And if you can go on the pub crawl, really do it. I mean, I would love to go, but I don't think I can scrape up the cash. Yeah, but
two
if
grand
I can.
For New York.
Well, not New York. I would go to L.A., but still, $1,600. That's not bad, especially considering everything that's involved.
Yeah, that's all transportation. Is that flight transportation?
That's not flight, but that's transportation, hotel, food, drinks, prizes, all kinds of other stuff, and a lot of VIP private stuff, too, at a bunch of bars there.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's not going to be the sort of thing where I can just follow around. And but, no, it's going to be and Scrappy gets on my computer again. It's going to be a huge ordeal. And I would love to go personally. So if anybody wants to take me, $1,600, and I'll be your man bitch for the weekend.
Yeah, wait, is it happening after 90 days?
No, unfortunately it's not. I wish. That'd be great. Yeah. I have the cash then.
Hey, yeah, there you go, huh?
But, so that was Zane Lamprey, everyone.
All right. So we do appreciate him. What did he tell you? Because he had to call back in?
Oh, we had a conversation about when he comes back. Mm-hmm. And when he comes back, we'll see what we can put together. I don't want to give too much stuff away, but...
Well, where was he calling from?
He had to do the entire interview from his car sitting in his driveway because his son was inside and was asleep.
Aww. See, that's a good parent right there.
That's a good dad right there.
That's
that
a great
is.
Dad.
I don't know what this is like. I didn't have a father.
You're dumb.
Yeah, you and I, like, killed the thing twice.
Man, you guys are like comedy cancer. Oh. Just...
Normally I'm funny, and I'm like, I gotta ask a question.
Oh, I wouldn't say you're funny. I say you're.
I'm funny.
Your looks aren't everything.
Oh, you're right. That's because you don't put out.
Holy cow!
Where are we at on our broadcast?
We're at
sheet?
The
because
eight?
We're at the eight, so we already cut the break. So we're just gonna go straight into politics and stuff.
Yeah.
Ew.
No, politics are good, Scrappy.
Politics
good.
Are necessary.
Let's talk about football instead.
Nope, that's later.
No, that's actually, we will say this after our break at, 8:30?
Matter of fact, Scrappy, what would you like to talk about? What
yeah, would you
what
like
makes
to
talk
about? Yeah, what
you
interests
talk
you?
You want to talk about... Remember that episode in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns is going to like block out the sun
uh-huh.
and he hits a little red button and the thing comes up? Well, our government's trying to do that shit right now.
What?
Yeah. Okay, listen to this shit. U.S. wants to block the sun to prevent global warming. They said, according to the United States response, modifying solar radiance is very important, possibly that should be considered. Possible techniques for blocking out sunlight include firing giant mirrors into space, pumping reflective sulfate droplets or dust into the high atmosphere, or thousands of small reflective balloons. Well, I have to do a report in my politics class on what the government is doing for us today.
They didn't mention Clawball's ass? I'll cover the sun and the moon.
Shit. Dude, well, no, that's the moon covering the sun.
Oh, dear.
That's an eclipse of anything. Why is... So. Mommy, why is the moon hairy? Those little things dangling. Wait, let me see this.
And why does it smell like cheese?
Okay, look, now I didn't think that this was official or
let
anything.
Me see the paper.
I went on other sites, and this isn't just the only site that's like wah-wah.
Originally published February 1st. Where is this from?
It's naturesomething.com. It's on the top.
Natural News?
Natural News. But there's more like news articles. Like if you Google it, you can find it on other...
Well, I'm doing that right now. I'm expecting this to be an Onion article, but this isn't an Onion article?
Again, this is the plot from Highlander 2, isn't it?
I don't know. Was Highlander 2 to block the sun?
Yeah, that was
no,
Highlander 2.
No, Highlander 2, they blocked, you know, they got the idea from Highlander 2 because Highlander 2, they blocked the sun.
Yeah.
I know Highlander.
And the whole idea was to unblock it.
No, they blocked the sun to repair the ozone layer.
To repair the ozone layer.
The Simpsons.
Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
What, you know, next they're going to be going
our
after the tech.
Our government is getting his ideas, their ideas from the Simpsons. Well,
come
from
on,
the cartoon.
Let's think about this, really. Do you imagine George W. Bush sitting at home watching Weekly World News, or do you actually expect him to be watching something legitimate?
Like the Simpsons?
Oh, please, we all know he's
Futurama
watching the Wiggles.
And shit.
The Wiggles. Oh, can you imagine President Bush dancing with the Wiggles?
Yes. And the Teletubbies.
Oh, no, they're gay.
So yeah, exactly. Our government wants to blot out the
only
sun.
Only the purple one.
Wait, now.
Well, the thing is, though, like, scientists are thinking, there's some, of course, who are against it. Like, this ICPP or whatever.
Like, the rational, insane ones?
Wait, the insane clown posse is away from, doesn't want to do this.
IPCC draft report commented on such ideas, called them speculative, uncoasted with potential unknown side effects.
Yeah, like death. I'm sorry. What? Wait, but where does the United States get off saying, okay, hold on. Excuse me, Mr. Secretary of Agriculture. That's you. I would like to propose an opportunity to stop global warming by, well, you see, what we have is called the Krakatoa bomb.
Wow.
Yes, the Krakatoa bomb, basically, we will set off in the atmosphere and it will pollute. Well, let me rephrase that. Let me just jot that away. It will coat with a soothing glaze the atmosphere to block out the sun. How does that sound, Mr. Secretary of Agriculture? Let's bring in the Secretary of Defense. Secretary of Defense?
Wow, that sounds...
Well, they do say every cloud has a reflective sulfate droplet lining. So,
oh, that's hey, so you got your secretary with you. How's the wife, by the way?
Huddla. No, I can't imagine that our own government would want to do this, but then again, they did spray our own soldiers with LSD and Agent Orange back in Nam, so who knows what they're capable of these days.
The next question that I have to ask is, first off, how do you approach another country? Excuse me, Zimbabwe. We have this idea, and you're like...
What the fuck?
Wow, he went with the clicks and whistles joke pretty early on that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was like you jumped the gun. I was like, I didn't even get to say.
James,
you
didn't even know what to say about that.
Yeah, he's like,
he's tired.
What's the next thing?
So I guess by blocking the sun, you get rid of black people, right? Because no one get tan anymore. No one get dark skin. So I guess it's a twofer, I guess. You know? Hey, we can save the world and black people. Hey, it sounds great.
That'd make Mitt Romney and all his constituents happy. Oh,
man.
Oh.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. Let's block the sun.
Can you imagine that? I mean, you got to convince
not even that. Can you imagine the balls? Can you imagine the balls as a country to tell the world that you're going to block the fucking sun? You know?
They don't want to block the entire sun. I mean, like, they're not going to block the entire sun.
Well, I mean, who has the right to block any of the sun and shit? You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, I'm going to block the sun today, man.
We're saying this now.
If you don't like it, hey.
We're saying this now, but the thing is, if we have the ability to do this and we don't do it and global warming takes over and the ice is whatever melts.
I want to hear this point. Drop your wah-wahs and go with that point.
Okay. If global warming happens, like actually happens, and ice melts and we all die, like some ice age and some crap, and we didn't block the sun, and well, I guess we'd all be dead, so it wouldn't really matter. So, but I mean, like if we didn't die and it got really bad and people were like, well, why didn't we block the sun when we had the capability to do it? Now it's too late. Now we're all going to die, and then people are going to bitch because of that. But if we are about to do it, people are going to bitch because why are they blocking the sun?
Okay. Now like, we know.
That was
know.
Like 7 minutes to sum up damned if you do, damned if you don't. Isn't it?
It was. It was brilliant.
Now we know the ozone is disappearing, yet people are buying more Hummers.
I know,
so,
right?
Fuck you. I'm going to get a Hummer.
We already know.
Oh,
we
oh.
already know the answer to help global warming, and we're not
right?
doing it. So
exactly.
How is blocking the fucking sun going to do any different?
My thing is could you just imagine some alien race looking down at us, you know, from space, and they see a giant fucking umbrella. They're like,
hey, Bob, you want to invade this week? Nah, let's wait till they put that thing away for a few minutes.
<You know. laughs> Dude, and I can't. And the chat room here is pointing out, actually, all that she mentioned, I've heard all of these serious suggestions. What scientist sitting there going to the lab going, you know, if
apparently
we use, if we cover the Earth in bathroom glass, this may help.
Just build a bubble around the whole world.
I don't know. I'm a little... we'll see if anything rolls out of that. I mean,
I was surprised to see this. I'm like,
that's the sort of thing you're like, that's got to be a joke. This can't be real.
Yeah, and I did too. But like, if you go on Google, there's a lot of sites with this information.
Well, they're all what it was done.
Well, because if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yeah. Well, no, it was done like pressrelease.com, and then everybody goes, "Hey, we get a feed from pressrelease.com. This is fucking brilliant." Now I'll worry when like Fox News says, "Hey."
Construction begins today on the giant umbrella project.
And I could just see all the... Can you imagine the sponsorship logos on this umbrella?
You got
seriously.
Pepsi,
Halliburton.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be on the underside. So every morning we wake up and we stretch out in the morning. We go, oh, what a wonderful day. Hey, look, I can see Pepsi's in the eastern sky.
Hello, Mr. Umbrella blocking the sun. Yeah, that'd be it.
Dude, albinoism's like rampant. Like goths are running around going, this is our world!
Oh my God.
All that'd be left is Al Gore chaining himself to that thing trying to get it torn down.
I lied. We need to extinct ourselves this way. All right.
Yeah, way to catch on, Freakazoid. You're about 10 minutes late on that note. Anyway, so moving on. Last night, for anyone who saw it, was the Democratic debate between Obama and Hillary. Didn't you guys watch it?
Really quick, I didn't watch it, but should I open this up for roundtable discussion?
Definitely.
All right, so here's how this works.
It has to become official.
Yes, this is Spankwagon Radio. We got to do it officiously, officious.
Hey, don't roundtable discussions require Scrappy get beat off on?
Oh, absolutely.
Keep it in your pants. You keep it in your pants. James L., don't even. That's nasty.
That's funny. We freaked her out. She's like surprised that I stood up.
She's like, come on, you already
stood up. I'm like, holy shit.
All right, so here's how this works, folks.
Well, I already had one job interview this week.
No.
Before we roll into it, because I know it's going to turn into a big discussion, all I want to know, if I'm dropping out of a race, I'm not endorsing any motherfucker.
And we'll get to that, because that's part of what we want to talk about. Right. First off, rounds table discussion here at Spankwagon Radio. All you have to do to get involved, you can either join into the chat room by going to spankwagon.net or, you know, just use the chat room itself that we have, of course, the cam chat link, or give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-LV-ROCKS. That's 1-866-587-6257. And we do want you to join in. Murph? Politics? You got distracted by
beating
your nipples
off,
again.
Scrappy is on the cam. Nice. For those of you watching our Paris Hilton broadcast tonight, take a look. Take a look. Seriously, look what it looks like back there. Isn't that creepy?
I look better in the dark.
that's what Wes said.
There we go. There you go. Thank you very much. There are a lot of people out there who would like to fuck those. Anyway, so politics. Again, we had the debate last night. It was very interesting.
Okay.
It was a very feel-good kind of debate. We are down to two final candidates for the Democrats. I think it would have lasted a little longer before it went down to two. But Decaf, what do you think about the turn of events with Edwards dropping out and then coming down to these two?
I mean, it's kind of predictable. I mean, it's nothing really that shocking about them, But what I'm surprised about, for one, is that Obama has taken so many votes away from Hillary. It came on so strong, and was even more shocking than that is going to bars and shit. I mean, redneck bars in the city, and white people are talking about how they will vote for Obama. Now that is amazing. I mean, they're like, yeah, Obama, he's pretty good. He answers questions and stuff like that. I said, man, if he's winning over white people, if he won over South Carolina, you know what I'm saying? That's huge. And Hillary, I think she's reaching for desperation, but I think her popularity is probably going to beat out Obama at the end, but it's going to be a tough fight.
Well, I kind of sort of agree with some of that. I mean, I'm very pleased to see that more and more people are getting behind Obama. I think that was, that's completely awesome. He is going to be the guy who has to break the status quo. Hillary is not going to be the person to break status quo. Obama's going to have to be that person. And you're right. It's very sad that Hillary's popularity may win out. However, Obama now has the Clintons, or not the Clintons, the Kennedys behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And as far, even Ted Kennedy, even though he's technically worthless as a senator, they still have a lot of pull. Not really Ted Kennedy, but Carolyn Kennedy,
yep.
The daughter of JFK, saying what she did. She was a child, so she really doesn't know her dad, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But saying what she said about this is, you know, this is the kind of person you want. That's reminds right. me of my yeah. father, basically, is what she said. That's a hell of an endorsement.
That is a hell of an
Edwards
endorsement.
Dropping out wasn't that surprising. I didn't expect Edwards to last even this long.
Yeah. I thought he's going to be in dropout.
Yeah. But wouldn't it be interesting? And this is just something to throw out there. Edwards, Obama. I know it may not happen. I know it shouldn't happen.
You know, Edwards is a little bit too much of an ambulance chaser for me.
Okay.
But I could see it happening. That was, you know, one of the questions that was asked last night during the debate was, what are the possibilities of a Clinton-Obama or an Obama-Clinton ticket? Both of them played it off kind of, you know, it's way too early to talk about anything like that. But that honestly would be an unbeatable ticket.
I think it would be unbeatable, too.
But speaking of the endorsements, some other interesting endorsements have come up for Obama just in the last couple of days since the Kennedy endorsement. Let's see, Senator Edward Kennedy, as well as, Kansas governor, Kathleen, I can't pronounce that last name, Sebelius, also the Chicago Tribune.
Say syphilis?
Yeah. And today alone, the LA Times and MoveOn.org have both endorsed Obama. So if you're counting endorsements, it looks like that that Obama's going to take it. Also, a huge endorsement that Edwards had, I think it's the... a union of some sort. I can't remember exactly.
Well,
what it is.
I mean, they're all going to go after unions, but I mean, Hillary was going after the teachers union here in Vegas, and
that
Obama's
backfired on her, didn't it?
Well, it didn't actually. She did win technically by the popular vote, but of course, the delegate counts were different.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to another president as well, or another candidate. My faux pas.
Wait.
Dropped out.
Who dropped out?
Talk about Giuliani.
Yep.
Giuliani dropped out.
Your boyfriend.
How's that my boyfriend?
You're Republican. I'm sure you want to wax his knob.
9/11!
9/11!
Shut up.
Senator McCain, we'd like to ask what you think about children's health care.
9/11!
You know, it's very important that in this post-9/11 world that children have health care to protect them from terrorists.
All right, Scrappy, go ahead.
I never said I was going to vote for him. I don't know where this is all, like, coming from. He's my boyfriend, blah, blah.
9/11!
9/11!
You guys are stupid. Shut up.
A lot of women had him as a boyfriend in New York, but go on.
Hey.
You know, just bringing that up, it's kind of funny. You know, McCain said he would stand by his wife for all time until she got into a car accident, and he divorced her and got a 25-year-old trophy wife.
Now, wait. Look at Kucinich.
Oh, no, Kucinich is just the man. There's no way around that. But anyway, so, Scrappy, your take on the Democratic debate last night.
I didn't watch it. I was in class.
You know, that's a softball one just waiting to happen.
So how you feel between Obama and
Hillary? I don't own a TiVo because, you know.
How do you feel between...
What? Obama and Hillary?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Do I have to talk about this? Yes. You know yes. I don't like Hillary, so... Obama, if I had to choose over...
Why do a lot of women not like Hillary?
Because she's a woman.
I'm not going to vote for her because she's a woman. And the only women who like her are the women who want to vote for her because she's a woman. I've never heard a woman tell me, I want to vote for her because blah, blah, this is what blah, blah, want. This is what I believe. I've only ever heard a woman say, I'm going to vote for her. Why?
Can we stop the want?
Well, because I don't fucking
Words?
With that.
No. Yeah. Kill the want.
Okay.
Kill the want. Use actual English.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say. I've never heard a woman exactly give me a reason why she wants to vote for Hillary besides she's a woman.
Okay.
I've never had anybody tell me this is why and spell it out for me.
All right.
I've never. So.
Okay.
Do you know any of the issues that they stand for? Either side, Obama or Hillary?
Like what? Like healthcare and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know any of the issues? I mean, do you know what they're saying about these issues? Or, yeah.
I haven't really been keeping up with it recently, no.
So you would just pick... So you would just pick them blindly based on because you don't like Hillary as a woman.
I got this clip just come in. I'm standing... Oh, I got to reset the clip. Hold on.
This is interesting. Now, speaking of... I mean, Hillary is not getting a lot of female support. Because a lot of women don't want to vote for.
Because women don't like women.
But there is one woman who says that if John McCain gets nominated, she will campaign for Hillary Clinton. That woman
it's limits on free speech.
Is Ann Coulter.
It's not supporting tax
it's
cuts.
Anwar, it's torture
it's
at Guantanamo.
It's class warfare rhetoric.
Right.
It's interrogations. It's Guantanamo. It's Anwar. It's... These are not small issues to conservatives.
No, and if you're looking at substance rather than whether it's an R or D after his name, manifestly, if he's our candidate, then Hillary's going to be our girl, Sean, because she's more conservative than he is. I think she would be stronger
about John
on
McCain.
The war on terrorism.
You really
I absolutely believe that.
That's the one area I disagree
no.
with.
No.
Can I
no.
just say one
no.
thing?
She will, yeah, we're going to sign up no. together, but let me explain that point on terrorism. We're going to be together.
You would vote for Hillary
yes,
over...
Yes, I will campaign for her if it's McCain.
Hillary watching tonight. Did you just got an endorsement?
I just heard the word no.
I was touched when she cried.
that part isn't
true, but the rest of it is true. I mean, he has led the fight against, well, as you say, interrogation, as I say, say torture at Guantanamo. She hasn't done that. She hasn't taken a position in front.
But wait, let me give you one distinction. Without interrupting you, let me give you one. That's what liberals do to you. But let me give you one distinction. He did support the war.
So did Hillary.
But he stayed with it. He supported the surge. I didn't like his criticisms of Rumsfeld. But he was right. We needed to readjust.
Let's get to him supporting the surge. He keeps going on and on and on about how he was the only Republican who supported the surge, and other Republicans
Hillary
attacked
didn't.
Him. It was so awful how he was attacked. It was worse than being held.
So, that's how bad McCain is doing right now, to where Ann Coulter and most of Fox News want nothing to do with John McCain. And it looks like McCain's actually going to get the nomination at this point.
Yeah, well, over Huckabee, because I think, you know, the religious types are just scaring him. Huckabee and Romney.
You know what? I think I sent you something about, I think it was Huckabee, the top five reasons not to vote for Huckabee. On the Democratic side of things, I mean, I think we have the potential here for the perfect storm of candidates if Clinton and Obama do wind up running together.
Yeah.
At that point, there's not a whole lot that the Republicans can put up can beat them. But it's interesting, you know, talking about Obama, listening to him talking like I did last night. The guy is just well-spoken. But everything he says comes off very positive. Even when he's, you know, like last night, he took a couple of really interesting pot shots at McCain and Romney. Those pot shots even came off in a very positive, I mean, they were backhanded compliments, but still, the guy just wants things to be better. And I think that's really where he stands for, versus Hillary, who to me kind of reminds me of like a Democratic version of Ron Paul. She'll just say or do anything to get elected.
Speaking of which, here's that link that you sent me of the five reasons to be very afraid of Mike Huckabee.
Hold on just a sec with that, though.
I do have to give one thing that I've heard numerous times about Hillary versus Obama is Obama tells you what he's going to do, but not how he's going to do it. And Hillary actually will like tell you how she plans on.
I've heard it the opposite way.
Have you? I actually heard that she's given like.
No, I heard it the opposite way.
But when I hear Obama speak, like when I have watched whatever they're on, which was a long time ago, I really like the way he speaks. I think he speaks very well as opposed to, well, our president now.
Yeah, but I think actions, I mean, obviously anybody is you know, an award-winning author and speaker and presenter compared to our current president. I think what we need to worry about, though, is the course of action. You said it yourself. One is saying, not only this is what I'm going to do, but this is how I'm going to do it.
Right.
That is very important. That is very necessary.
Now, from what I've seen in the debates, Hillary never has a way to back up. She says she's going to do something. She never talks about how she's going to pay for it. Obama always has that answer, and it just seems very well thought out. It's a very interesting system for him.
You know, now you say that, and I know that in our current Senate, there's actually rules that have to be applied anytime they introduce any legislature that costs money. Now, instead of having it just be out of thin air kind of money, you have to also write into that legislation how you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So if you introduce something that's going to cost $100 million, you have to go in and say, we will take the $100 million from this, from this, and from this, so that way we don't impact them too negatively, but we can still use that money to fund our new idea.
And you have to write it well enough so that it gets past both houses.
Yeah.
Which is damn near impossible for anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that came up last night in the debate was the topic of health care and universal health care and affordable health care. An interesting statistic was thrown out in that Obama said 80% of the costs of health care go towards the 20% of the population that have chronic debilitating diseases, and had they been treated earlier, it wouldn't be such a burden. So if people had more accessible health care early on, these problems could be taken care of, and it wouldn't be such an emotional, physical, and financial burden for them to get them corrected.
Yeah, because, well, when I was a kid, I didn't never went to the, you know, dentist. We didn't have no insurance, whatever. So, you know, I'm missing four teeth that I wish I would, you know, my chewing teeth that I wish I had. But, I mean, I understand, you know, you look back and go, oh, God, you know, whatever. But a lot of people don't go to the dentist because a lot of people can't afford to go to a dentist. It's just, you know, your health care is, you know, is really serious. And we never went to doctors or dentists. Mm-hmm. So you just had to tough it out.
Well, and, you know, interestingly enough, I always joke about it, but I actually grew up very poor in Iowa. You know, I had no money. My mom had no money. My dad, you know, divorced family, all that stuff, and couldn't even afford the insurance because of his job. But I was actually in what was called Title 19, and that was a state-ran insurance program where anything I did, whether it was doctor's appointments, medication, anything, was $1. My mom was also on it as well. I mean, we just, you know, we were uber poor. We were way below the poverty line, and yeah, we were on this insurance. My mom had a total knee replacement, complete stay in the University of Iowa Hospitals, which is the best of the best hospitals in the state. And it cost her all of $1 out of like $200,000 worth of medical bills. $1. The rest of that got paid by the state. So there is your socialized medicine right there. If a state level can do that, you know, why can't we figure out how to do that on a national level? We know that Medicare, Medicaid, let's more generic it out. Mm-hmm. Insurance companies get charged a lot by doctors who like to overcharge for a lot.
Pad the bill.
But the insurance companies also charge people. I mean,
$50 for a pillow?
Yeah. Yeah, $50
for a pillow. $10 for an aspirin, stuff like that.
And they'll charge you for a whole bottle of aspirin, even though you may have only taken one because they had to open up a whole bottle. The other thing to worry about is the fact that the insurance companies overcharge because you're paying into insurance whether you use it or not.
Oh, yeah.
It's a gamble is really what it is. It's a structured lottery. But, yeah, that's my point.
Now, Scrap.
Don't look at me.
Oh, no. On the topic of healthcare, of course, we know you're a little more conservative than some of us. How do you think that feels? How do you feel about that, and what do you think?
I don't know. Leave it up to the states. Why can't you leave it up to the states? Why can't you have a vote in your states and be like, do we want socialized healthcare? Don't bring it to the whole, you know. That way, when Nevada gets socialized healthcare, I can move to some motherfucking place who doesn't have it with my insurance, and all mm-hmm. y'all, mm-hmm. all the poor folks can live here.
Now, you do realize we already have a form of socialized healthcare where you...
All the poor folks, you live on Nelson Stewart.
You know, shit.
Oh, fuck.
You can walk into any hospital, and they cannot deny you service. They cannot deny you healthcare.
No, you're right, and they won't deny you healthcare, but if you don't have insurance, you're last on the list to go. Those who have, if you go into the hospital with the same problem as somebody else, mm-hmm. they're going to ask you the first fucking question they ask you. And I know, because I worked at a doctor's office, do you have insurance? And I've turned away patients. Mm-hmm. Do you have insurance? No, we can't take you here. We don't take cash. We don't take any kind of payment from
you. How are you insured?
Hmm?
How are you insured?
What do you mean? Through who? Because I go to school. Oh, Health Plan of Nevada.
But because of who?
Because of my father.
Mm-hmm. Because of your
but
father.
But I've been insured on my own. When I worked at Quest, I was insured on my own. Full-time employee. It was my insurance.
And how many people do you know that are friends of yours who work and have no insurance?
But, okay. More when than I the motherfucking worked
how many?
At
no,
Dillard's.
No, no, no. Answer the question.
No. When I worked at Dillard's for $9 a motherfucking hour at a retail store, they offered me insurance. There's no excuse. McDonald's offers insurance now.
Can I tell you why? It's easier to offer health benefits than to have to pay someone sick time.
It's actually cheaper. What they'll do is they'll offer the health benefits even if you can't afford them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, yes, they'll offer them, but you won't necessarily be able to afford them.
Mm-hmm. Guys in my company right now who, because of the raises we got last year, because they weren't enough to cover the health insurance increases this year, they're actually losing money out of their paychecks.
Mm-hmm. And that happens. Now, I will agree with you on the insurance deal where if you go into – before we found primary care doctors here in Nevada, in Vegas, my wife and I, if something were wrong with us, we'd go to a UMC Quick Care. We knew we'd get in right away. We knew we'd get a good diagnosis and everything would go nice and smooth because we had insurance. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we know how to play that game, and we have played that game ourselves, guilty as charged. So I will agree with you there. I don't think you understand, and I'm not picking on you, but I'm picking on that mindset of, well, everybody offers insurance. Yeah. Can you afford $600 a month?
I did it. I did it and paid my way through college. It's
when working at Dillard's.
With bills.
When working at Dillard's.
Okay, now, it's easy, but insurance on a single person is relatively easy. I make in the upper 50s a year. I'm paying for the insurance for my family, and because of that, I make $200 more a paycheck than my wife does, who makes $30,000 a year.
Because of insurance.
Because of insurance. Insurance in this country is a scam, and it's a ripoff, because it's designed to fund the insurance companies and nobody else. You pay into this system, and what happens is you don't get to use it. If you do use it, you use very little of it because you have such a high deduction. Once you hit that deductible, then they start to kick in. Then there are people who legitimately need insurance who are unable to get insurance on their own. And this is a sort of situation where socialized healthcare would help out and pay for things. There's other ways to pay for it other than just saying, oh, well, this money has to come from taxes. But there's other ways to come up with this. Maybe a state-sponsored system where, okay, we're going to offer socialized healthcare. How are we going to pay for this socialized healthcare? Who's going to give us the doctors? Okay, we're going to give medical students we're going to help medical students learn, or we're going to give them grants in exchange for that grant. Once you become a doctor, one week every month, you work for the state. And when you become a doctor, you come back here and you work for us. There are cities that do this now in some remote portions of the world or of the country. It's just, you can't turn your back on the rest of this country. This country was built on hard work, and there are people that can't afford to live like some of us can, and you can't just turn your back on them.
Right. Toe in the chat room says, I'm a believer in shit hits the fan insurance and not much more.
Mm. Which is unfortunate, because there are a lot of people who, that's all you have is that sort of emergency precautionary insurance. It doesn't help you, because by the time you need it, the condition is so bad it's often fatal.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys ever had to deal with the VA?
Yes. My father was a veteran.
No, I have not, so I don't have that experience.
No. Like, okay, because I'm sure I've said on the show before, but I worked for a nonverbal incomplete paraplegic who was actually... Okay, it's kind of hard to explain, but he was injured because he was in the Air Force Special Ops. So He only gets like $6,000 a month, I think. He's completely incapable of doing anything
himself. $6,000 a month?
Yeah.
That's more than I make a month.
Okay, dude, but he's completely incapable of doing anything for himself. He pays for his own care.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything that he does comes out of pocket, You know? And, okay, so anyway, when I was working for him, I really had to deal with the VA a lot. He's had a broken wheelchair for over a year now. They've been putting him on the list, or they've had him on whatever the fuck the list is, to fix his wheelchair that's been crumbling to pieces, literally being held together with Gorilla tape and fucking glue, like... batteries for his lift, simple things that he needs to perform his life, and they haven't been getting on it. And that's exactly how the VA is going to be. I had a lot of patients complain when I was working at Quest. I quit the VA and went back to medicine, went back to a regular doctor. I quit the VA. I can't stand the VA.
But wait. Because it's socialized or national healthcare does not necessarily mean government-run healthcare.
Now, the VA, on the other hand, is government-run and government-funded. You do realize why there is a list now, right?
Because there's so many people.
And the funding every year...
goes to the people who are...
Okay, now hold on a sec. For the last 7 years, the funding has been slashed over and over and over again, as opposed to previously where the funding was increased and increased and increased. The Republicans and the Bush administration have systematically dismantled the healthcare system used to prepare and used to take care of the people that fought and defended this country. Right. Fought for and defended this country.
Right. Toe in the chat room also follows up with his previous comment. I'm not saying never go and get your regular checkups and such here. I'm saying for the most of it, you're better off paying that one-time pain in the internal ass rape of high monthly insurance rates.
Mm.
So.
Now, Decaf, where are you on this, on basically in socialized healthcare?
I mean, I think it's going to get to the point where there's really not going to be a other option. it's going to be something that's going to be government, driven to do it. Because, growing up poor and not having insurance, and to having insurance is a huge difference. But even having insurance, you still do pay a lot of money for overcharges and stuff like that. But it's like I do believe that they do need a socialized healthcare system, and I think we need it like very, very, very soon.
Who runs that?
I guess it could be. Well, I take Scrappy's idea of consideration, where, you know, it could be by state. You know, maybe, you know, different states can run it different ways, and maybe it's not a federal law, or some states can, you know, they can vote on it and they say, you know, if some states want it or some states don't want it. I mean, it probably could be run at the level, but
is it funded on state taxpayer level, federal taxpayer level, or a mixture of both?
State.
I think maybe matching funds between the two, whatever the state raises that the federal government will match,
okay.
I think would be a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I think that's how it should be, too. And cut down military spending.
So, not just military-based spending, but let's talk about all of our different wars, our war on drugs and our war on, you know, all these other factors.
Terror.
War on terror.
You know, it amuses me. Jimmy Diggs is in town from the Philippines. You know, the guy runs LV Rocks, and he's back to smoking again. He quit for a few years. Mm-hmm. One of the things he said that in the Philippines, he can buy a pack of cigarettes for $1. Like, he literally got a carton of cigarettes for $6, he said, because they don't pay all the taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. He went to a dentist, had a bunch of dental work done, like a ton of dental work done, and he paid out of pocket in American money $28.
Wow.
You know how
I'm gonna go to the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean, in but all kidding aside, how is it other countries are able to do that? What is the difference? Why are they able to offer that kind of cheap service?
Have you seen Michael Moore's movie Sicko?
No, I have not.
You should really watch it, but watch it with an open mind.
Of course,
greed.
Like, don't because
it's all
if you,
about greed.
And I was kind
That's
of watching.
All it is.
If you look at the different places and you know how they're all happy because you know. They've got socialized medicine, but if you kind of look in and you see the environment of the hospitals and stuff is not what you see in the United States.
No, that
in
is
certain
true.
Parts of the United States. And I think with the poverty levels and the rich people and whatever, I don't have a pen, sorry. They want nice, you know, they're going to want that nice 5-star you know, hospital. They're not going to want to stay in a cardboard box.
That's not true.
No, are some people who don't mind because they're getting free health care, but I don't want to stay in a cardboard box. I can have my choice of having insurance.
Or do you want a
$200,000
bill that you're never going to be able to pay?
No, if I have my choice of having insurance and paying a monthly rate and staying somewhere where I feel clean and not dirty and safe and
you feel safe when you go to UMC? You don't feel dirty?
I don't go to UMC. So.
She goes where the other white people are. She goes to St. Rose.
I don't go to UMC. I've never actually even been in the hospital as a patient.
It's actually not that bad in there. I've seen worse hospitals like Sunrise, but
and I go to Sunrise without a problem.
A hospital is wall and rooms. But, I mean, if you
but
are
to
getting
some
so
people, but to some people it's not. To me, it's not.
Are we really talking about life and death of the way the fucking structure looks?
Because that could be
how's one point even?
No.
How's one
I'm
point
talking
even
about,
close to another point?
I'm talking about sanitation and cleanliness of something, you know.
Ken's biggest bitch about being in the hospital wasn't the fact he was in the hospital. It wasn't the fact that the doctors and nurses weren't paying a lot of attention. No, it was the fact that the 37-inch plasma screen TV that was strapped to the wall in front of him didn't work.
Yeah. Sassy. But I mean, do you see what I'm saying? I don't know. I mean, for some people that's fine, you know, like some people can camp.
I can
some
find,
people would rather stay in a 5-star hotel.
I can find 1,000 people easily who would prefer to have socialized health care for someone they're probably taking care of.
Sure.
And stay
if you go
in
to
a,
the ghetto.
And stay in a shitty room and don't care.
Sure, and I could find 1,000 people easily who would say, fuck that, hell no. I'd rather stay in a nice ass hospital. With my insurance monthly rates and be taken care of.
Well, people with insurance.
In this country, yeah, people with insurance. And I mean, it's statistics.
The whole discussion. That's the
I
point.
Mean, if you go downtown,
you know what though?
You know,
I will look at those people that say they'd rather. I would love to do a sub survey of those people that say they'd rather. You know, if they had a choice, even if they didn't have a choice, they'd bitch a fit if they had to go to a VA type hospital compared to a St. Rose. I mean, if I look at them, those people are fat. They do not take any good care of themselves to begin with.
Who the people who would rather stay in a nice hospital?
Yeah. I'm going to bet that there's a socioeconomic point there that they are, you know, they are the overspenders. They are the people who we only have enough money for food or a big screen TV. Hey, look, that TV's for sale for $1 cheaper. I'm going to bet that there's a, I'm going to bet there's a correlation there.
But think about the people who live in the Anthems and, you know, the nice fancy part of town.
Absolutely.
I mean, like,
and look at what they have all of it, but look at their lifestyle. What is their lifestyle really perpetrating? Yes, I agree. Chatting with Chief when he was in town here, and Heather basically, she had a medical emergency. They wanted to start doing the stuff there. She said, no, give me back to the States. Yes, there was sanitary conditions and there was concerns. But I think that if we can standardize, that allows hospitals to equalize. You know, if you're not dealing with hospitals are like schools. If your hospital's in a ghetto, it's going
Don't
to
say
turn
hospitals in, are like schools.
Let me finish, please. Hospitals are like schools when it comes to funding. Hospitals in the ghetto are beat the shit. Hospitals that are in great areas are funded way better and have way more stuff and more. You know, they fit your ideal of a hospital more than a necessity.
America would have to change, like, its standards and viewpoints.
Instead of having pretty-ass windows, have more rooms.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, have rooms that are more individualized instead of putting two sick people in one room together and watching death crawl up the walls.
But if it's socialized, it's going to be more than two sick people, because that's normally two sick people who actually have insurance.
Yeah, and I think that's
spectacular. And this is going to be two sick people who don't have insurance plus another two sick people who don't have insurance plus another five people all in one room.
No.
Socialized, okay, let's say one thing too. Socialized healthcare is not here to replace insurance. It's here to augment the insurance. And I think that was. I think that's ultimately.
Yeah, no, everyone. That's the thing. Everyone's panicking. Oh, insurance is going to go away. It's not. It's not to get rid of insurance. No,
because again, if you have your own insurance, you will be able to choose your own doctors. You will be able to choose your own hospitals. You will be able to make more choices. And if you go for the socialized section of it, you won't have as many choices. You won't have as many options.
But it'll standardize and equalize.
It's like an advanced form of Medicare.
That's exactly it. And things, you know, that we would take for granted, like, okay, you break a tooth. Under your own insurance, you can opt to get it capped and you can get a root canal. But if you have the socialized version, we're just going to pull the tooth.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's ultimately where we're heading. And it is something that's going to take a center stage in this election. And it's going to be really important.
It's taken a center stage in the past 20 years and nothing's happened. So who knows?
Exactly.
We do have to wrap. You are listening to Spankwagon Radio, probably the most well thought out and intelligent internet radio show ever.
That includes dick and fart jokes.
I also got to say this. I have found some official information and I want to play this. The solution to blotting out the sun by the United States. They actually have a theme song. We're going to play that for a break, and then we're going to come back to Big Daddy Decaf's official Super Bowl preview.
Might as well call it Super Bowl now.
Yeah.
The big game, because no one can officially call it Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we'll be back in just a moment. Spankwagon Radio, spankwagon.net.
people say you've had your day. I'm a man that will go far, fly the moon and reach for the stars. With my sword and head held high, gotta rise to dust. First time, yeah. I know that people talk about me, I hear it every day, but I can prove it right, cause I'm right. First time, yeah, yeah. All right, let's go, let's go. Ha ha. Yeah. Watch this, my fly.
All right, spankwagon.net, welcome back. I think I wish I had theme music, but unfortunately the theme music's copyrighted, so I couldn't play the official theme music.
Oh, we can't play theme music anymore?
So we need Murphy to hum it.
Dun, 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 dun.
Sorry.
What am I?
The official big game theme music.
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, that's the official that's Monday fuck. Night theme
oh,
music.
Sorry. It
goes dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Come on, Scrap, go for it.
I don't know the rest. I can't remember. I don't
want to
play it.
I don't know it.
Try not to show a titty on the halftime show.
Oh, Jesus.
That's old, damn.
Hey, you know
what I know what he's talking about.
We got the reference, yay!
Hey, is that a camera in the bathroom for reals?
Yeah. Well, what happened was over the weekend, sometime.
We could have watched Murph jacking off
the lane. Judging by the sheet. It says 8:30, and you guys are cutting into my time, and I don't really appreciate.
We apologize.
Dun, dun, dun,
this
dun.
Shit. Okay, I don't care about you jacking off. I'll watch you though, and the pee-pee cam in the bathroom. But anyway, it's kind of creepy. Yes, it is. I like
I'm
it.
Glad I all right, the bathroom
Super Bowl appreciate.
Turn down the music.
Right,
let
Super
the
Bowl
man say his bit. Super Bowl, Big Daddy D.
Now okay. Presenting Big Daddy D. Gaff's Super Bowl preview
dun, 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 dun.
Extravaganza.
Thank you very much.
Patriots are going to win. Thank you. Good night. 22. So let's hear your breakdown of the Super Bowl. Let's hear your Super Bowl preview, buddy.
Okay, well, the biggest thing is about great teams and underdogs. So I kind of want to make it a little bit of a discussion, too, other than just sitting here just pointing out factors of, you know, whatever, you know. Of course, Patriots have a great offense, and the Giants is, I guess, supposed to have a really good defense. And, you know, they played earlier. It was 38-35. And everybody's saying that the Giants could have won the game if they, you know, play better or whatever, and the Patriots not as good as, you know, they seem earlier in the year. But my question is, great teams in history of all sports compared to the underdogs when it comes to championship games, do you think the advantage of a great team winning and underdog losing is just, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I guess the only thing I can say is status quo.
But I mean, okay, do you think that they over dramatize? They trying to make the underdog team
totally
much more than they are.
They have to, because this is going to be one of those really, just like last year's, this is going to be another one of them boring ass Super Bowls.
But I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
I don't.
But my,
I think.
Well, no. I have a question that has to do with college football for you and baseball for you. Two examples of this.
Well,
okay. Hold on. Let me ask a question. For you, college football. Now, I remember they talked about Hawaii being undefeated, Hawaii, and Georgia Bulldogs came out and whooped the shit out of them.
Killed them in the bowl.
Now, do you think all that hype was just like, was it just a waste? Or do you think, you know, that Hawaii never had a chance to start with? Or were you starting to believe that they could beat a big school like Georgia?
I was starting to believe they could beat a big school. Because, but they weren't being billed as the absolute underdog, what they were being billed at as was the BCS breaker. And that's what I started to believe. I was like, oh my God, if Hawaii can do this and they went undefeated in their regular season and they, oh my God, they could go and they could do this and they could, and they lost. And I'm like,
and it was a beating.
That was supposed to be my.
That was supposed to be a real great game that they super hyped up.
And yeah, because they were supposed to break the BCS by winning.
Yes.
By showing the BCS that, you know what, you rated them low. They weren't going to win anything. And you know what? Technically, the BCS still fucked up because they did win so many games. Yes, the big argument, weak schedule with Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But damn it, they did win those games. They won physical games. They did not win by technicalities. They won by playing their asses off regardless of the weak schedule.
Now I'm going to go to you in baseball. Okay, now
for those of you not watching at home, he's pointing at me.
the Colorado Rockies, right? Mm-hmm. They had this big streak. They won 23 games in a row, whatever. Just like they're talking about the Giants and their 10 home, their 10 away wins, and you know they're on a streak of their own of winning away. Then they go against the big bad boys for the Red Sox. It gets absolutely murdered. Did you see it coming?
I saw it coming like a fucking freight train because you got to remember. Colorado is number one. They were the best team in the NL West, which I've said before is a lot like being the prettiest waitress at Denny's. Then they just fluked their way through the playoffs. I mean, they really did. They just fluked it one after the other. And you also have to remember half of those games were played in Colorado where the bat boy hits it out of the park. It was a complete fluke. The Red Sox were a powerhouse team. They were the last couple of years. You know, it's only been recently they've been a real a contender, so to speak. They didn't stand a chance. Everyone wanted to see the Cinderella team make it big. It's not going to happen. You know, sometimes it's nice to see the Cinderella team, and bringing it back to football, this year, this is another one of those situations where you have the perfect team right now in the Patriots, and I'm not saying that just to kiss your ass so that you make sure I have a comfortable padded seat on Sunday. you have a perfect team, and then you have a team like the Giants who, again, fluke after fluke after fluke, especially watching that playoff game against the Packers. Well, how do you miss two kicks and still come back and win it?
Yeah.
Here's my thing about that game. You're looking at a game and, you know, they did get their fluke and fluke and fluke, but if you noticed, they're not talking about the Giants versus the Patriots. I shit you not. It's the Manning versus the Patriots. And that's all I'm hearing.
And it's even more than that. It's the Giants, it's the Giants defense versus Tom Brady. It's being really sectioned down. You have to look at it as a whole and what you're...
The whole, yeah.
You know, the Giants defense, granted, is great, but they don't have a kicking team to save their lives. And, I mean, they really are walking wounded in some cases versus the Patriots, who I honestly think the sprained ankle and the boot bit on Brady was a total work.
It was all a setup. Had to be. I know. And now for you, Scrappy. History and haters.
haters.
Now, I know you probably heard a lot of people, you know, because you have a lot of friends and stuff that watch football and you watch football. Now, would you prefer to see the history of the Patriots having a perfect season? Or would you rather be like the haters who want to see it come to an end?
Nah, come on with the Patriots, dude. Like,
and why do you think people decide to want to see
the underdog?
Yeah, or go with the or go with a perfect team losing their last game?
Because the Patriots beat their team.
Because they're all secretly Dolphins fans.
Not just Dolphins fans, but 72 Dolphins fans.
No one wants to see someone have a perfect score. No one wants to see perfection.
And why do you think people don't want to see perfection?
Especially because the Cowboys fans, the Chargers fans, this fans, that fans are like, damn, the Patriots beat our team. Go on with the New York, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, you know, my wife has an interesting view on that because she watches a lot of hockey.
Oh, she's a girl. No one cares
about
her opinion on
sports. Hold on. Oh, nice. I like her attitude and opinion about it because she watches hockey and she likes Red Wings, okay? She's a bandwagon fan. But at the end of the year, at the end of the season when they're doing playoffs, whoever beats the Red Wings, she'll cheer for them because if they're good enough to beat her team, then they should go further. I kind of like that ideology.
But what if your team's like the Cowboys and they got beat by both?
Then I'm tired of seeing Owens cry.
As a matter of fact, pathetic.
A guy in our office.
He was trying so hard not to cry. He's like with his glasses.
A guy in our office is a huge he's a Dallas fan, right? He walks around he walks around like that guy in Office Space with the coffee cup, and it's a Dallas coffee cup. Here's the thing. What we did is we took and we photocopied dozens and dozens of photos of T.O. crying and pasted them all across his cubicle in his Office Space. So, yeah.
Oh, that's
my
awesome.
My office mate is doing the same thing. He tortures me every couple of days. He printed out probably about 30 pictures of Paula Duca and signs them every day. Things like, hey, Chris, got a needle I can borrow. Sign here. You know, it's interesting in that your wife will root for anyone who winds up going to the Stanley Cup who beats the Red Wings. You ever notice that 99% of the country that doesn't live on the Eastern Seaboard will just root for whoever's playing against the Yankees?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's the way life should be.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest here.
Root against the Yankees. That's the way it goes.
You know, root against. But now here we're conflicted because Torrey's now a manager of Dodgers.
Yes. Just like the people's rooting against the Patriots because of it.
Now
so
let's
what
go.
What do you think, that, James?
Now let's hear your prediction for the game. What do you think is going to go down in this game, James?
Do you
I
agree
think it's
with
important.
Trench over here? That you think it's going to be a boring game too?
My prediction comes last. What's your prediction again?
The Patriots. What do you mean?
Do you think it's going to be a close game?
I don't think it's going to be a boring game. I think that it's going to be a close game.
It is going to be a close game.
I don't think it'll be I think it's going to be closer than Trench is giving it credit for. I think it'll be
an interesting
game.
I haven't even given you my idea of what it's going
to
be.
Well, you're boring.
Don't worry about his. Just yours. What do you feel?
I think it'll be a good game.
She's feeling my left butt cheek right about now.
And what about you?
I think it's going to be a close game up until about the third quarter. There will be a definable point in the game where the Giants are just going to fall apart, and it's going to be all New England. I think it's going to be brutal at one point. I think that the final score on the game
Manning's
will be
going to break his leg.
It's going to be something like that. I think the final score on the game, you're looking at a double digit.
This is how it's going to go
down. A double digit difference between the two.
If the Giants start losing, they're going to break Manning's leg, and that's going to be their excuse. They're going to be like,
what's your prediction of the game?
I want to see all of these really expensive commercials because that's really all it's about. I mean, it's a marketing machine more than a fucking game anymore. Seriously, though, the game itself, I'm going for the Patriots here, but I think it's going to be boring in the sense that the Patriots are going to somehow hold like a consistent 7-10 point lead. And it's just going to be like, oh, okay, here we go again. Oh, okay, here we go again. I think when I say boring, I don't mean like a complete blowout, but I mean a game that just doesn't have the energy from both teams.
Okay. My prediction, I think the Patriots are going to go up 14-3 in the first quarter. Know why? Because they're going to force the Giants to pass. They're going to take away. The main thing that they want to take away is their running game, and because that's their weakest point. So they're going to go out there, and I think Randy Moss is going to have a big first half. I think he's going to go to Moss, and then in the second half, they're going to go and chop him down with the passes to Falk and the passes to Welker and the passes to the tight ends. You know, and they're going to chop him down and, like you said, hold the ball or hold long 7-minute drives.
Yes.
You know, be up the whole game. And I think it is going to be a double-digit win, but I think they're going to go up early on them, and then the Giants is going to have to play catch-up the whole game. And they try to, you know, catch up. And all because Plexico Burris said that the Patriots are only going to score 17 points. And when he said it during the media out here.
During the media day.
I missed that. Who said
Plexico
that?
Burris.
Yeah,
the wide receiver in the Giants. Oh. He said that they're going to win 23-17. Now, when they told Brady this in the interview, Brady couldn't help. You know how they do that? Well, you know, they you know, keep quiet. They don't want to talk. So you know how the Patriots, you know, whatever. That's how they're defined as a team that, you know, is just like, well, one game at a time, whatever. Brady fucking laughed. He tried to hold it in. He went, 17. He's like, I'm get 17 in the first quarter.
Said, I wish it would have given me a little more credit.
Like at least 42. But yeah, he said 17. He started laughing. So I think that one alone is going to put 14 out of him in the first quarter.
You know, the Giants are going to definitely bring their game. I mean, who wouldn't want to be the one who beats?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so
do you know most Super Bowls are blowouts?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, most Super Bowls,
the one year I really watched, because an Iowa boy was there with the Falcons. I mean, that with Denver. I mean, that was a given blowout. It was kind of the same situation, except Falcons were the ones that were like, wow, they've had a storybook year and gone. One thing I know that watching all the media and the hype and the news and stuff like that is you're going to see those long drives. They're going to stall the ball is, you know, always what I call it. They're going to stall the ball. They're going to hold on to it for 7 minutes a drive. It's going to be boring. And I don't see anything other than they're all not hoping necessarily for the Giants to be the underdogs because Giants were fluked in. They're hoping to make Jesus, grab hands over there. They're all hoping to make a Manning destiny of just the brothers and the father. That's really all I ever get out of this. I mean, that's the Giants were completely under my radar until last week or two weeks ago.
And their wins has not been very convincing.
No, it hasn't at all.
They've been sloppy. They've been very sloppy, especially against against Green Bay. Yeah. That shouldn't have happened. It should right now be Green Bay and New England. And it's
you used the baseball comparison with the Colorado Rockies, and even the Colorado Rockies had more convincing wins. But then again, it was in Coors Field where a pigeon can knock it over center field.
Watch the Giants totally destroy the Patriots in like.
That can't happen. I mean, that just
honestly, there's almost no chance.
If that happens, it's because they give a sack on Brady in like the first quarter, and it literally breaks his neck. That's it.
And his arm, so he's unable to throw from the wheelchair.
Who's doing? And speaking of that, but trust halftime me, show.
The Patriots hasn't
scored. Tom Petty.
The Patriots hasn't.
Really?
Do you know who Tom Petty is?
Free falling.
Oh my God!
She's got two
in
the
references
show.
In the night.
The Patriots
I know that Tom Petty.
Patriots haven't scored under 20 points in the last 23 games.
What was
they
the
also
game?
Set an NFL record for points this year too?
Yeah, what was that one game? What was the one game? I think it was Green Bay where they just ran away with it. It was like every they were just making touchdowns just to see
Seattle.
Oh, that was it.
That was a whooping.
I mean, that was a Sunday night game. We're watching it. There's pro wrestling on one screen. We're watching the game on the other screen at the OG. And I shit you not, it was like that game is more. You know, I mean, just watching that score, 56 points. We're like, now they're versus 56-13. They're like, now they're just scoring, just going, ha ha, fuck you.
Yeah, and Seattle went up by 14.
Yeah,
got the ass.
Speaking of things this weekend, I got an interesting opportunity tomorrow night. The Brock Lesnar UFC fight. Who's he fighting against?
Frank Mir, local town hero here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Mir was he was a big time guy in the heavyweight division. He broke his leg in a nasty motorcycle accident. Came back, had a couple of losses, but now he's back with a vengeance. And a win here really does validate him in the heavyweight contention on this.
Now, my original plan was to have a bunch of people from the studio hanging out at my house. I was going to invite a bunch of you guys and everything to come and eat some burgers. I get a call this afternoon that says, "Hey, we're going to the fight." Yeah, I know. We're going to watch it at my house. No. I got about a handful of media tickets. So some of us from LB Rocks are going to be going
no
there.
No love for Murphy, of course.
No love for you guys because I was like, well, how many do we get? But I actually get it to go to a UFC fight, probably once in a lifetime chance.
So how you go promote and slam us down at the same time?
Yeah, ouch.
Now, he does.
I like how he's looking at us individually like,
let's just
going to.
Because for once I get to do something mean. I don't get to be mean.
James L., Chris, and I are going to come over to my house and I'm going to show my tits. So have fun with your UFC.
Now let's just point out.
That this is perfectly fair.
This is your first UFC event. I have, in fact, been to two. One, of course, I was five rows from the ring. Beat that, biatch.
I don't know where. I mean, for all I know, I could be sitting in the parking lot, and that's going to be the best seat. So I'm bragging just the fact of, hey, this is going to be different.
Yeah.
Secondly, you got the big Super Bowl party this weekend.
Yes.
How come I didn't get invited?
Yay.
You did.
You did.
I never got one, nor
did the
wife.
You never check your
you
email.
You need to check
it. Was it during my transition for
check
my email?
No, check the MySpace events.
Oh, you see, I don't do that. Okay, okay.
Oh, see,
could you do me a favor?
There you go.
Send my wife an invite.
Okay.
She's feeling kind of butthurt. Not even.
Are you guys going?
I'm working.
Oh, and speaking of, hey,
that's what I'm saying.
What
she wants to go, though.
That's what Carla said, too. Carla said, well, I don't think they're going because he works Sunday. So
decaf.
But yeah, I'll send an invite.
Email to my wife.
Okay. I don't think they heard that.
No, you guys.
I was asking Murph what day the Super Bowl's on.
We were sitting around the other
night.
She's
going to hate me. Is she going to
listen
to
this? My wife looked flat out at me and Justin said, "What day is the Super Bowl?"
Well, we were talking about your party and I was like, "Are we going? Are you going?" And she's like, "To what?
What day is that?"
And I'm like, "His Super Bowl party." And she's like, "Oh, what day is that?" And Murph just kind of bowed his head in disgrace and I just kind of didn't know what to say because
Super Bowl Wednesday.
I'm not to that point yet where I can make fun of her.
And
Super Bowl 7.
And here's the really funny thing about that. She wasn't talking about the date because my wife thinks in terms of days of the week because she knows when she has her day off.
Monday.
She was actually asking what day of the week that
falls. I know. I get it. Yeah,
the actual day. No,
day.
Not the date. The
she
day.
She didn't know it was Sunday. Day. Oh, you didn't catch her. Yeah. You didn't catch her. I knew it. But yeah, she didn't know.
I was trying to give someone more credit than I should have.
Oh, she didn't know.
It's like I tell her all the time. It's a good thing she's pretty.
That was cute. Though.
I know we like, are about to.
Awesome.
We got about 2 minutes.
She is a sweetheart. I do love my wife. She's not.
What
the
day
most...
does Christmas fall on?
Oh, she can. She can tell you Easter? Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. Oh no, she's great at all that stuff. She
so
can.
What are we doing, James L, at your party?
I'm bringing Kane's fingers.
We're eating.
What's that? Are you coming?
Now, currently?
I thought you weren't going. I thought you were going to bail out on me.
No, I'm going to try and go. You never know what's going to happen with work.
Keyword, try.
Which means I will not be there.
No, that's
actually,
not.
But I might call in.
Well, my thing is, anybody wants to invite me something and I say, we'll see, usually means no.
His yeah. dog's
no,
gonna
I'm
be
really,
sick.
I'm
my dog's going to be afraid of the fireworks the neighbor
He's
might light.
He's constipated with diarrhea. His wife came up with that excuse.
Fuck you, blow me. Who's next? No, the problem is, for me, that could potentially be a bad day for work, and I do have to be there in case something happens.
Wait. This Fox?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there.
What channel is this thing on?
It is on Fox. It's on Fox this year, so I have to be available in case something happens.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to be available, too, because I work with tech support for that stuff, mm-hmm. so... You know,
but you're going to be there. You're not going to be home. You work.
No, but you see, I got to keep my phone on me because just the same, if I get a call, I got to go.
Yeah.
So what are we doing at the party?
Apparently showing your tits.
Are we getting drunk?
We are going to.
Are we
going to
get plastered?
On that note.
We could do penalty shots again, but I can't be. You and me can't be the only ones doing it.
You're not going to be there. You're not going to be.
Penalty shots.
You're not going to be there. We're going to fuck. On that note.
That's what you get for working.
Hey,
on Super
one of
Bowl
us has
Wednesday,
to.
I mean Sunday.
Yeah, no, Wednesday. He's working. You're just working it. A little bit of a difference here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio, baby. Of course.
Of course. Probably one of the most intelligent shows we've had all year so far. We got a bunch of people to thank. Of course, LV Rocks, LVRocks.com for allowing us the studio space.
Zane.
Yes, we'll get to that in a second. Also, other syndicates. Flash FM, KC Host Radio Network, Door From Hell Radio, Fox FM, Showdown.net, Steel City Radio, Nomad Radio Network. Oh, they missed it today.
Wiki.
We're off the air.
Sucks to be them. Bitches.
So,
big thanks.
Who else?
Big thanks to Zane Lamprey for coming on the show. We do love him. You guys remember to check out ZaneCrawl.com for the international pub crawl there.
Just go to
ZaneCrawl.com.
ZaneCrawl.com, but also Mojo and TV Networks, MojoHD.com.
Yeah, you
Wait,
can. And
Trace,
Mojo
where do we go?
MojoHD.com.
The professionalism on the show is outstanding.
Every night, it just takes a nosedive right towards the end, doesn't it?
What do you mean? It usually takes a nosedive right towards the end of the opening credits.
Yeah, ZaneCrawl.com, MojoHD.com. Check out videos, buy the gear, buy the merch.
Steve McKenna.
Buy
the gear. I want the cop. Who am I calling?
Jim the Cop.
Jim the Cop. I always want to say Don the Cop, but Jim the Cop. I want a Jim the Cop shirt. That's another story.
I'll
all
buy
right.
you some Jim the Cop underwear.
Thank you.
Some underoos.
A little bit of thong. Get a, you know,
a thong?
Banana
a man
hammock.
Thong?
Yeah, there you
okay.
go. All right.
Thong to thong, thong, thong. Thong.
I was big
with
as a truck.
Picture?
Truck. thank you. All right, we got to say.
That's the funniest thing you said all day, so I got to laugh.
There you
make
go.
Make him feel better.
Don't forget, we want you guys to be our friends. MySpace.com/Spankwagon. And if you have anything
especially
to say.
Especially if you're hot.
Yeah. Like your mom.
Single.
Like your mom.
There you go.
And a man.
Like your mom?
I like them about...
Before your mom.
5'8", blue eyes.
You know you still like your mom.
Black.
You know you look like your mom.
She likes her men like she likes her coffee.
Free.
You know you...
Oh!
Ouch.
From the 7-Eleven?
Oh.
Ooh, I like 7-Eleven. French vanilla.
And she doesn't mind a little Irish cream. And on that note...
And on that note, of course, if you want to get hold of us, radio@spankwagon.net. And, Murph, give us the phrase or word or whatever, the ending.
No. Oh. I'm taking it.
Okay, Decaf, what's the ending comment for tonight's show?
Patriots rule!
Go Titans.
Spankwagon.net.
Patriots rule!